Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for 6 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2014, we're $47,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. as you consider your year-end giving.
And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need them. We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers for the future. We need people that can, we need engineers that can build stuff, solve problems.
That's Bill Nye, a popularizer of science, known as Bill Nye the Science Guy. He's made a lot of statements to that effect, where he says, look, if you want to remain ignorant, if you want to remain religious with all of your fantastical beliefs about God or about creation, go ahead, but don't teach your kids that, because you're imperiling the future of our country by teaching your kids what he regards to be irrational, unsupportable myths and fantasies. Now, what does that have to do with Christmas, and what does that have to do with good or bad Christmas music? Joining us on this Friday afternoon to talk about Bill Nye and mediocre Christmas music, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and he's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Dear Bill Nye, Christmas and Music Desperately Need Your Help. Hans, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
So connect the dots for us between statements like that we hear from Bill Nye on a regular basis, warning us not to teach our children our superstitions lest we imperil the country's future, and good or bad Christmas music.
Well, the connection is sort of came about as I was kind of mulling over this issue. So recently my son had his sort of Christmas concert or winter music program at his elementary school. He goes to public school out here in Shanahan, or rather in a town called Manuka, which is right next door. And my wife went to it. I was unfortunately sick that night, wasn't able to go. But it was, I think, probably a good example of sort of the direction in which a lot of Christmas programs are going in public schools, where there's less and less music that has any kind of religious nature, probably for fear out of kind of the increasing secularization of the country, that those who are not Christians are going to have some sort of problem with this. So the easiest way to solve the problem is just to not have any music of that nature. But, of course, the problem that you run into is that when you cut yourself off from religious music, kind of the quality and artistic value of the music that you have left is not especially high. And as I was kind of mulling over this issue, it just made me kind of think about this Bill Nye video that had come out a while ago, and how it is that what he's basically saying in the video is essentially you have an ideological learning disorder that you creationists do. So there's a certain worldview, a certain truth that you refuse to accept. And because of that, it prevents you from being able to be an actual scientist, being a person who's scientifically literate. And because we need people to be scientifically literate, because society will be adversely affected if people are not scientifically literate. If you want to basically just pull yourself away from society, that's fine, but don't do it to your children, because we need your kids to be participating in essentially making the world a better place by being scientifically literate people. And it struck me as I was kind of thinking about this issue that even though I obviously don't at all agree with Bill Nye's assertion that that having a creationist worldview somehow prevents you from understanding science and somehow holds back the development of the human race from a scientific perspective, even though I obviously don't share his conclusions on that, it struck me that there's something very similar in what you basically see in this kind of very hostile reaction to any sort of sacred Christmas music being used in any kind of public school setting, any kind of public school winter music program, where basically you have people who have an ideological objection to hearing anything about the gospel. And they are just simply incapable. They're so incapable of just dealing with the Word of God and with the name of Jesus that they're willing to cut their children off from actually learning about really culturally significant kind of apex of human achievement type of musical compositions, simply because those compositions are written from the perspective of a worldview that they don't share and a worldview that they don't want to be exposed to and don't want their children exposed to. So in the end, it kind of ends up being sort of this. Each side is sort of a caricature, but they're both kind of the same thing, which is there's a worldview that you don't want to even have to deal with, that you don't even want to have to consider, and so you're willing to make everyone in the world, including your own children, stupider in order to avoid it.
Okay, a couple questions along those lines. I do not have the same problem, but I completely agree. But I do not have the same problem for exactly the same reason. My kids are both out of public school now, but they both were in it. And having a son who excelled at music, and particularly choral vocals and things like that, went to a lot of choir concerts, public school choir concerts. Now, in our school district, the music is almost completely religious, even though it's a public school district. And I once inquired, and I was told by the musical authorities at the high school well, that's where all the best music is. You want your kids to have the best music? This is what it's going to be. It seems like that, even though the result is different, it proves exactly the same point you're making.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of this probably also just kind of depends on, you know, what's going on in your various school districts, and probably in particular whether or not you've just had an occasion of, you know, of kind of radically secular parents making a big stink about this, which is probably the determining factor in a lot of this. But I think it's very good that in your son's experience, what you had there was that you had secular people who have a higher view of religious music than oftentimes many people in the church do.
So how does Bill Nye, if his theory is that successive generations of religious parents, if they instill the religious ideas in their kids, will make everyone stupider in the future, how does he explain progress to this point? I mean, does he suppose that if we had not been religious, we'd all have jetpacks by now?
Yeah, that was sort of the weird thing about the video is he starts off with, I mean, the video struck me as sort of an own goal in that, you know, sort of a soccer term where you're trying to accomplish something, but you actually end up scoring a point for your opponent. His thesis in the video is don't teach creationism to your children because it will essentially stunt their scientific development and that will adversely affect society. And in particular, it will adversely affect kind of scientific innovation. But he starts off in the video saying, people move to America because we're such a wonderfully scientific nation, but also we're the only nation that has this problem with creationists. So he starts off essentially conceding the fact that we're the number one most creationistic nation in the world has somehow not managed to really get us turned upside down. You know, so creationism has not made us, hasn't made us Malta. It hasn't made us, North Korea. It hasn't made us a nation that's not really sort of a major player when it comes to scientific innovation. In fact, we're still pretty much there at the top. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how he manages to connect the dots and conclude. It would seem as though the best argument that he could possibly make is, well, we don't actually have any evidence of this happening, of creationism adversely affecting scientific development, but we know that it does, even though we don't have any evidence for it, and we know that it's especially going to happen if we don't solve this problem, that we don't actually have any evidence of its existence, which is not a terribly scientific approach to the problem.
Does he seem to take seriously or even consider the possibility that the quality of music, be it Christmas music or any other kind of music, that has been so undeniably affected by people of religious sentiment, not uniformly, but history in a lot of ways of good music is a history of religious music. It's just a simple fact. Does he seem to have any ability to grapple with the fact that these backward superstitions tend to produce the best?
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, in all honesty, the Bill Nye was just sort of kind of representative of this kind of neo-atheist movement in the article that I wrote for The Federalist. And it was just because he kind of spoke these specific words that sort of gave me the angle to put to kind of approach it from that perspective. I mean, I obviously don't know Bill Nye personally. I haven't heard him speak kind of about this aspect of things. So I suppose it's entirely possible that he may at least concede, even though he rejects the Christian faith, certainly rejects a creationist worldview, that he very well may still recognize that there are some monumentally important human achievements in music, in architecture, even in understanding the way that governments are structured that have come out of a Christian worldview. So he may recognize that, or he may be like some folks that you may find in this kind of neo-atheist movement, that you'll find some that will sort of concede that stuff. And yet you'll find others who are just so sort of incredibly intent on denying that there's any possible value to religion and society, who will just find some way to sort of sidestep that whole issue completely. And yeah, basically kind of as the point that you bring up, which is, well, if you look at everything amazing and beautiful in human achievement, when it comes, especially when it comes to the arts, things of this nature, these things being done in proclamation of God's mercy and in response to the love of Christ, that's just the reality. This is where so much of this fantastic stuff came from.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about Bill Nye and mediocre Christmas music on this Friday afternoon, December the 12th. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Dear Bill Nye, Christmas and Music Desperately Need Your Help. We'll be right back.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scair, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at outdoornativitystore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, outdoornativitystore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Do you have an accurate understanding of my conduct if you're going to say to yourself, I'm an atheist? And I can just give you a list. One of my top three favorite musicals of all time is Jesus Christ Superstar. One of my favorite rock songs of the 1970s is Spirit in the Sky, which is in fact an anthem for praising Jesus, if you actually listen to the words. One of my favorite choral pieces is Handel's Messiah. And yes, I stand up during the Hallelujah Chorus when I see that performed live. I actively take my kids into beautiful churches so we can see the art. If your friend is deeply religious, I don't engage them in debates about the existence of God. I just don't, because I'm not interested. I'm not interested.
That's the voice of another famous atheist, although he prefers the term agnostic, Neil deGrasse Tyson, of cosmos fame and of scientific fame as well, a great popularizer of science. I was thinking about that when we were talking before, Hans, because in contrast to a guy like Bill Nye, who at least, you know, likes to paint Christianity and religion in general as a hindrance to society, we got guys like Neil deGrasse Tyson who say, hey, I'm an atheist, or I'm at least an agnostic. I don't believe in a God, but look at all the stuff that religion has given us. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose at least kind of from the perspective of what are we expecting sort of the public sphere to deal with this? How are we expecting our public schools or public institutions to treat this sort of issue? I think there are kind of two different ways that Christians should approach this. And so the first of which is just kind of to say, well, look, it's not the job of public school teachers or of the state to teach your children to be Christians. It's not the job of Caesar to create faith in your heart. That's the purpose of the church. That's why Christ has instituted this church. But it is sort of the responsibility of the public and of the public sphere to boost culture. To hold up that which is commendable about human achievement, and as the quote you just played shows, I mean, if you want to find the best stuff that people have made, you'll find that it very frequently has a religious connotation and a religious connection and a religious origin. So it's kind of one of these things where I remember having this conversation with someone in my congregation a couple years ago on a very similar issue, and where they had. The couple had gone to see their granddaughter's choir concert, their winter choir concert, and they were upset that there were zero actual songs having anything to do with Christmas that were played. And, you know, in talking with them, I kind of said, well, you know, on the one hand, you shouldn't expect the public schools to teach your kids about Jesus. That's not their job. That's the job of their parents, the job of their fellow Christians to instill faith in them. On the other hand, if you want your kids to actually do meaningful, worthwhile music, if you want them to learn stuff that's actually valuable, if you want them to aspire to something better than singing Gloria Estefan in a choir concert, and nothing against Gloria Estefan, but if you want them to do better than that, then certainly schools just need to recognize, well, if we're going to aim higher, we just have to recognize that we might hit some religion among the stars. The higher our musical aspirations are, the more we're just going to encounter the name of Jesus, and you just have to deal with that. So we just recognize if we want to be people who appreciate that which has come out of most of Western culture, then that's sort of the reality of the thing. If there are atheists who can recognize that, that's good. There's sort of a recognition that they're at least not sort of approaching things from the perspective of just denying the clear, obvious, beneficial influence that the Christian faith has had on the arts and culture.
Is there a big difference, to speak kind of generally about atheists who are worried that their kids are going to get exposed to a little Jesus at Christmas, even if it's just the sanitized Jesus of a Christmas concert? Is there a big difference between atheist parents who don't want their kids exposed to anything religious and religious parents who don't want their kids exposed to anything secular?
I think it is, in the sense that both sides, when they're kind of approaching things from that way, I would say that both sides are infected with this sort of disease where reflects kind of an insecurity about your own confession of faith, whatever that is. So there's no fossil in this world that my kids could look at where I wouldn't feel confident as someone who believes in a literal understanding of the Genesis account. There's no fossil that they could see, no piece of evidence that those of an evolutionary perspective could place in front of them that I feel like I couldn't give some response to. There's and even kind of outside of the scientific realm in these things, you know, sort of more even from a philosophical perspective, that as a Christian you need to be prepared to encounter this stuff because it exists out there in the world and there is no way to completely guard yourself against it. And the more you guard yourself against this, the more you basically instill in your children the notion that the Christian faith isn't real because you're terrified of actually having to defend it. That you're terrified of actually having to look at the opposition and figure out how to answer it. You know, it's sort of like when you're having an argument with someone, and they say, "Well, I just don't want to talk about this anymore," which is basically a fancy way of saying, "I can see that I've lost the argument, and I don't have the words to actually back up my position, but I don't want to actually say that out loud." And I think for both sides, when there's this aspect of, well, if you're not a believer, if you believe that the story of Jesus Christ is just a myth sort of created by this community of people, certainly you should have confidence in your position. Certainly your position can't be so flimsy, and your beliefs on this issue can't be so weak that they couldn't possibly survive a kid singing bits of Handel's Messiah in his choir concert. And if they can't, if you're so terrified of your kids having to encounter that view, then that's probably not the actual issue there. There's probably something else going on, and there's probably some other reason that you're really so terrified about them hearing it, and it's probably because you're actually afraid that it is true.
With only 30 seconds, as a Christian parent, do I have to worry that my kids are going to grow up dumb if I teach them the Christian faith? About 30 seconds, Hans.
No, you don't. I mean, the reality is the world will always look at the Christian faith and say this is foolishness. In particular, the world will sort of pick out whatever it thinks is the easiest way to make the argument that the Christian faith is idiocy, and will always seek to make that the narrative, because that's the quickest and easiest way to shut Christians up, at least in their eyes. But the reality is that when you recognize that the Jesus who died and rose from the grave, that this is his understanding of the Genesis account, that this is his understanding of who God is and who he has taught to us, then you don't need to worry about these accusations that you're dumb, because if I'm as dumb as Jesus, I can live with that.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and he's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Dear Bill Nye, Christmas and Music Desperately Need Your Help. You can read this article and find out more about Lutheran Satire at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana is training great minds, good pastors. Like Pastor Hans Feeney, he's a 2008 graduate. As we approach the new year, consider training for the vocation of pastor or deaconess in 2015. Find out more at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or give Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, a call, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. this Friday afternoon. Chris Roseborough is going to join us for the better part of that second hour. We'll do This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about a seeker-driven Christmas, and then we're going to play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week in the last 20 minutes. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues, Etc. is next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.